Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, we're Fake Dad. I'm Andrea.
And I'm Josh.
And you took over right away. You decided that you were the one mm-hmm. who was going to define this thing. NYC, now LA, 7-track new EP, other stuff before that, went to South by Southwest on tour. You just did you're doing your last gig of that thing tonight. What are you amazed that either no one has asked you, or what do you wish someone would ask you?
I am surprised that what you asked, that nobody has ever pointed out the fact that, like, we were making music earlier than it says on the internet that we were making music.
Okay. Really? Okay.
I don't know if you necessarily knew that.
You didn't know that?
No. I got 2020. That's okay. What I got.
All right. Well, because, like, if you dig on SoundCloud and stuff like that, Fake Dad was making music before that.
Where in New York? Where are you both from originally?
I'm originally from Miami, so not
New York. You see, and this is why we're starting out this way, Miami. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am from Stamford, Connecticut.
So what brought you both to New York was NYU.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I went to Gallatin, the weird school where you make your own major.
Oh, I didn't know that existed at NYU. Oh, man, I would have liked that. That would have been cool.
But there was sort of an unofficial, like, music area of that program, right? There were a lot of music professors and music students there.
That kind of, I guess there was, like, were in community with the Tisch kids.
Got it.
With the Tisch music kids.
And what were you?
I was at Clive Davis, which was, like, the music industry / recording program. Mm-hmm.
Did Clive ever show up?
Yes. Yeah, he showed up with his boyfriend and a cane and two guys holding him up.
And he talked kind of like this.
Yes.
Yes, I know.
And
but he is Clive friggin' Davis.
He is, yeah. And it's so funny because really we were kind of at competing music programs. NYU has like 3 or 4 more if you're being really liberal about
it. So is it competing? Because one's more like Berkeley and one's more like...
In my program, the way it works is you can take classes in different programs. So I took a bunch of like classes that Josh took in Tisch.
I refer to them as competing because none of the faculty in any one music program like or agree with the faculty in the other music program.
Oh, but that's music. I mean, everybody's a fetus snob, and especially if you're teaching it, you have your methods, and that's just the way it is.
Exactly.
So true.
Okay, so the two of you met from different schools, though you were slumming over at his school, and I believe you met at a party. Is that correct?
That's right.
What do you remember about that party?
So it was my like apartment warming party.
Where was your apartment?
It was in the East Village.
Where?
Right by Tompkins Square Park.
Who invited you to her place?
That's a good question. So my friend from high school who was older than me went to NYU before me. He went to film school. Good friend. He wrote some plays that we put on at the school, and he would write parts for me. So and when I got to NYU, I said to him, I'm not gonna have any friends in New York, so you have to invite me to things.
There you go.
And
right. And maybe there'll be some women there.
Yeah.
Could be.
And
so obvious, it's disgusting. But anyway.
He was in
I'm appalled.
What I would describe as sort of a love triangle. I've never said this in an interview before, but like he was in sort of a love triangle that you were also in.
But not he and I.
No.
To make it very clear.
No.
I am so confused right now.
No, you know, it was more like
it's a love triangle that she's
in. No, it's not a love triangle.
Well, she wasn't the corner.
No, most love triangles are a V.
Right. You
know? Anyway, he was very close friends with Andrea. And he introduced me. He said, oh, my friend Andrea is having an apartment warming party. You should come. And I went and we met. I didn't even know it was your place.
Yeah.
But it was very cool and very bohemian to me as someone who had just moved from Connecticut.
Right. Well, anything would be if to Stamford, Connecticut.
That's true.
Yeah.
And
really, it was bohemian. We had such little furniture. I guess that was part of it.
That's very bohemian.
That's the definition of bohemian.
Yeah. He was like, "Where's all your furniture?" Yeah.
That's true. And we
couldn't afford a furniture because the rent.
Oh, the rent was high there. And I stayed late, and we talked, and we watched a movie together, and afterwards. Evan, the friend, texted me like, "Hey, do you like Andrea?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do." And he was like, "Oh, well, she likes you." And so we just started seeing each other very soon after that.
You spend a lot of time talking about mental health,
mm-hmm.
about depression, childhood, happy childhoods, normal childhoods, weird childhoods.
I guess pretty normal for me. Not, you know, not without its issues here and there. Everyone has some
right.
childhood trauma, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Youngest of three by a lot. My oldest sibling is 11 years older than me, so I was kind of always like in the backseat child, felt a little bit forgotten sometimes.
Okay,
but
that's fair.
Still very close to my family now, so
that's fair.
Give you a little
and
Catholic school. And, right. She went to Catholic
that's,
school.
That's where a lot of the trauma came from. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I understand that.
For me, I had a lot that a lot of people don't have. But that being said, I had a very tumultuous childhood.
Mm-hmm. What made it tumultuous?
My parents got divorced very early. And I think I just had two parents who very much would have liked to never speak to each other again, attempting to co-parent with one another. If we walked around acting as depressed on the outside as we at times felt on the inside, there'd be no need to make music.
That's fair. But do you see why I went through that exercise with
yeah.
you? Because people are kind of like, well, why are you even having them in if they're just going to be... You know, well, life sucks.
Oh, no, no. Life doesn't suck.
It
you know,
does not
it's
suck.
It's
no, but it is concerning to people when they hear about that kind of thing.
For sure, yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's not easy.
We like to find a way to make the things that we make on social media feel like art that we can be proud of, because that is the only way to not hate yourself for doing it when it doesn't get the response that you want. Which
yeah.
happens sometimes or even a lot,
yeah.
you know?
So what drove you from New York to here? And I've heard you say, well, you know, take a look. There's actually grass out there in the world.
Yeah.
You know, is that what was the sea change that you said, okay, we're in New York? Because I know 72.6% of artists are like, well, the music industry's in LA these days. It's mm-hmm. just not as
yeah.
much in New York, blah, blah, blah.
But to answer it very honestly, I was, bring it back to mental health, I was at a place in New York, I was just feeling very stuck in New York and claustrophobic, and I was like doing too, I was like working 3-4 jobs and like.
What were you
I
doing? What were those jobs?
Publicist, barista, or I worked at a PR agency. I wasn't like a main publicist.
I never thought I was going to leave New York because I grew up in a satellite of New York, and
right.
I thought that's where I was going to be forever. And I associated music with New York, but every time we came out to LA, which Andrea made sure of was a few times because she was trying to plant the seed that she wanted to move there.
Right.
I just saw that there was so much more to life, both personally and professionally, than I thought that there was in New York. And I feel like now that we've moved here, we've both been able to, but I'll speak for myself, like I've been able to grow into a new phase of adulthood that I probably would have been stuck right before.
I love this whole concept of big rock music posers and how you... go so deep into some really controversial things because calling David Bowie, mm-hmm. that's not what you're talking about. You're mm-hmm. talking about people who become characters
mm-hmm.
as part of their persona mm-hmm.
yeah.
because just being David Jones, you know, wasn't going to get him anywhere.
Where would mm-hmm. we be if he had done that?
No matter you know? How yeah. talented, no matter how talented he would have been,
mm-hmm.
if he wasn't, you know, the Great White Duke or whatever, all the things he was, mm-hmm. he couldn't have done those songs. Because
mm-hmm.
a normal guy singing all those different kinds of styles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and maybe he could have, but did he feel like he could have?
Yeah.
And did the people watching, would they have felt the same way?
Right.
About it?
Would they have believed it as much, you know?
Yeah. So the things that you're doing, the makeup, I suspect you're doing it for two reasons. One, because of the theory that being someone else is kind of neat and cool, but also because it's a hell of a lot of fun.
It is fun.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's totally right.
Yeah. You got it. It's so fun. It's so fun to build a world. You know, we start out when we make the music, we're building this world sonically, but then to extend that. I mean, Josh and I are also like both really big movie and TV people. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's our opportunity to kind of like, by no means are we filmmakers in that way, but it's our way of like diving into dipping our toes into.
Believe me,
the
I
visual.
Am, and it's not that sexy. But I get it. So in 2023, you were described as bedroom synth pop meets indie rock, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What is the filter for a fake dad song? How do you know it's a song for fake dad?
I feel like at some point in any fake dad song, there's always a big release. I know that sounds very vague.
Not at all.
Do you know what I mean?
I get it. No, I get it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Could start small, but usually...
Yours is actually more logistical than mine.
Oh, okay.
My answer that just popped to my head when you asked it is our filter is each other.
That's good.
Because what we value about songs is so different. Mm-hmm. I think that I have a real love for structure. And I think about everything through the lens of like what it sounds like or what it doesn't sound like. And everything is a reference to me and everything is an allusion to me. And I think that there's no such thing as stealing in music unless you are really good at it. I think that I'm often aiming to steal and failing. And creating something new in the process. Whereas Andrea thinks about it in such a drastically different way, and her taste is so drastically different that like the filter is what the other person will accept being in the song.
Mm-hmm. The two of you negotiating to getting to a place where mm-hmm. it becomes the filter for the song.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like our combined creative choices, like regardless of what genre we're feeling any, you know, mm-hmm. that given day, just ends up sounding like a fake dad song. Like mm-hmm. like whatever genre we choose to write in it, we've heard, mm-hmm. it always has that sound that makes it us, you know, that makes a fake dad.
And that's why us constantly sharing our like musical diet with each other is so important, because it creates this constant moving blob of what we like and what we don't like, mm-hmm. And where those goalposts are. And like people have asked us so many times if it's hard to disagree about music as a couple or even just as collaborators. And I think the answer is no. I mean, it can create conflict, but like that's the guardrail.
Yeah.
You know, if we trust each other, we trust that anything the other person doesn't like is a pathway to making the song stronger.
Do you have a producer or do you self-produce?
We self-produce. Mm-hmm. So we do have a home studio. That's where we write, record everything. And I'd say we take it pretty near the end, right?
Yeah.
We, you know, bounce out finished stems mm-hmm. and we always send a mixed reference track.
You just say to him, make it purdy.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
your ears. And master it.
And yeah, and this is someone we trust and been working with for years, too. So
got it. Yeah.
And I'd say I can count on one hand the number of songs we have released that were made anywhere besides that home studio.
How do you two talk to each other about this thing you've made, about all the dues you've paid, about where you're at right now?
Yeah.
You know, about the jobs you might still have or not.
Yeah.
And how you're going to make this as big as you want to make it, and how big do you want to make it?
Yeah, well, we talk all the time about how hard it is and how much work goes into what feels so like such a disproportionate
response.
Return is the right word. Yeah, and how many how much it feels like we've like paid dues. But we, we dream of being able to support ourselves on this and spend, I know you really want to be on the road all the time.
Yeah. I mean, the goal is to be able to leave our, you know, day jobs entirely and to just subsist off of fake dad income. I guess we, we know it no time soon will we have to stop paying those dues, but if we can just be doing what we want to be doing more of the time,
wouldn't that be nice? Great.
Being on the road all the time and just
writing. Wouldn't that be nice? I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then you get to pick songs by other artists in between.